Shalom and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots Conversations with Yael. I'm your host, Yael Eckstein, President and CEO of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. On my weekly podcast, I invite thought leaders, authors, pastors, and other religious leaders, politicians, and influencers to share their views on Jewish-Christian relations, Israel, and other issues that are of key importance to people of faith. Today, I am so pleased to welcome to the podcast Lou Engel, who is a pastor and president of Lou Engel Ministries. He's an organizer of prayer gatherings that have reached hundreds of thousands. He's an inspiration to countless more people of faith, and he is also a true friend to Israel and the Jewish people. And his upcoming gathering is one that I personally am so excited about. And I'm excited to discuss here today so that all of you can hear about it. Lou is leading a million woman event on the Mall in Washington, D.C. on October 12th. Just as Esther acted heroically for such a time as this in the Bible, standing up for the Jewish people, these 1 million Esthers and Mordechais will do the same, praying for Israel and America. So without further ado, I am so blessed to welcome to my podcast, Lou Engel.
Thank you so much, Yael. I'm so excited to be connected with you and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And I'm so excited that on that day, you're delivering a message to America. And I believe it's historic and very significant. Thanks again.
Amen. Amen. Well, your life, Lou, as I've learned more about it, has been a personal inspiration to me. My own work here with the fellowship began as I was blessed to learn from my own father, Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein of blessed memory. And I've learned that you also come from a very long line of family who have been people of faith, both personally and professionally. Can you talk with our audience and our listeners a little bit about how many generations of your family have been preachers and how this lineage began?
This really moves me because God is the God of generations. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was in the 1700s. My great-great-great-grandfather and mother fled religious persecution from Europe. Ulrich and Anna Engel came over on a ship. We've searched this out. It's in the history books. 50 children were on that ship, and a disease swept the ship, and one child lived. His name was Jacob Engel. It was Anna Engel's son. The mothers that lost their children gathered around Anna and said, "Surely your son has a great destiny." He founded the Brethren in Christ Church in America, and I'm the eighth generations of preachers. I have seven children carrying on that very legacy of the blessing of generations.
That is incredible that everyone there knew that God had a story and a plan for this little child. And here we are. We get to see just a little bit, I think, of what God had in store. But let me ask you, Lou, how have you passed down to the next generation of your family this very important part of your life of faith and connection to God? And how are they continuing to do your work?
Six of my children are in Christian ministry. But you know what we did, I remember holding gatherings with my family, and we would light candles, the candle of Jacob Engel, and down the generations to Homer Engel, to Gordon Engel. Jesse Engel was the first missionary to Africa in the church, in the Brethren in Christ Church, three, four generations back. I named my son Jesse. And we would light candles, and I would say to my children, "You must carry on this legacy." It's not as profound as the Jewish way of passing down legacy, but it was glorious, and they've been kept. They've been kept by God, and so that's kind of how we've carried it along. And they traveled with me, and we taught them in home schools, which was a lot of times on great journeys, a prayer that we took across America. They just got it from being with us.
That is incredible. That's incredible. And so I know everyone listening, I'm assuming, knows about your work and your ministry, but could you share with us a little bit about what your passion has been, what your success has been in your career up to this point, and how you're able to gather and inspire so many people? You're able to fill stadiums to come together and pray. What's the key to building these bridges of faith and fellowship?
Well, I think these kinds of movements aren't just born overnight. You know, we just led prayer meetings, small prayer meetings for years, just faithfully underground. And then suddenly in one day, it became 450,000 who gathered to fast and pray. Let me give you context. Derek Prince, who is a lover of Israel, wrote a book called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. And he basically said that nations are changed through prayer and fasting. And he goes to the scriptures of Joel chapter 2, where there's a great crisis. And the prophet says, blow the trumpet in Zion, call a fast, gather the people, and let them cry, spare thy people, O God, and afterward I'll pour out my spirit. Esther had a corporate fast with Mordecai, 3 days. Thousands of Jews fasted and prayed, and God rescued the nation because of it. Basically says in the book, in the crisis of nations, the answer would be united, massive fasting and prayer and humbling yourselves before God. That book was given to me 40 years, and we have fasted for 40 years in seasons of time, calling on God for America. And then, Yale, in 1999, I prayed a prayer that defined everything that I've done since this. And that prayer was this: God, how can I turn America back to God? It seemed outrageous, but I knew God had heard me. And a couple of weeks later, a woman came to me and she said, you don't know who I am, but the Lord told me to pay your salary this year because you're going to start something in prayer with the youth of America. And I didn't know what to do with it, but she began to pay my salary. She paid my salary for 15 years. And wow. She said, have you ever thought about putting kids on the DC Mall? Like Promise Keepers put 1 million men. And I said, ma'am, I prophesied it 2 years ago. She said, I'll give you $100,000 to start it. 24 years ago, 450,000 young people gathered in DC. We told nobody who the speakers or the worship teams, because we've had enough personality-driven religion in America. We need God. And they came to the sound. That's the key, I think, Yale. Great leaders, I'm not saying I'm a great leader, I'm just saying, but great leaders give articulation to that which is being groaned in the masses. Yes. And when they touch that groan, mass movements occur. Something of that sound took place and it just mobilized. This is almost before even social media. And for 25 years, we have caught this sound in the crisis of the nation. And now this one coming up on October 12th, the Day of Atonement, calling 1 million Esthers and their Mordecais. I believe America is in the greatest crisis it's ever been, even in these political elections that are taking place, the need for a great spiritual revival. And not only that, when we begin to mobilize this gathering, it was about the ideologies that were coming in to destroy our families and children. Who would have guessed at that time that October 7th would take place? Wow. And now we understand it's about a global Esther rising up to stand against anti-Semitism and stand for the Jewish people. I believe we're in a divine global moment for America and Israel.
Unreal, because as you're talking about how this is affecting our children, I'm thinking about baby Kfir, a one-year-old who's still being held by the evil Hamas terrorists in the Gaza Strip. And so it's really affecting everyone. It's affecting the children in America, different than it's affecting the children in Israel, but it's the same victim. This evil is trying to overtake the children, the next generation in America and Israel and anywhere where there are people who love God, enjoy freedom, and sanctify life. And so the power of prayer is needed, I think, now more than ever. As you've spoken about, there's 1 million women on the mall in Washington, D.C., who you're calling to come on October 12th for a prayer gathering. What hit me so much when I heard this, Lou, is that it's not just a million people. It's a million Esthers. I'd love to hear you talk about this parallel between Esther that we know from the Bible and the Esthers that you're calling today.
Well, I could go back, if you would allow me for a moment, to it was in 2017. So I went to the mountains to fast and pray in a place called Estes Park in Colorado. Some call it Esther's Park. On the third day of that fast, I had one of the most epic dreams of my life. And in it, I saw women coming from everywhere to hear the book of Esther be taught. It was like I'm looking at this spiritual revival, a women's movement. I'm the only man there at Yale, and I'm holding an ancient Bible. And now I understand the dream that I've been given an ancient assignment of Mordecai, who was the man who was that called Esther into her calling. And I knew that there was coming a million Esthers worldwide who would take a stand against the ideologies, like in the days of Haman. It was the spirit of anti-Semitism and hatred to the Jews. It was the ancient battle way back to the days of Moses when the Amalekites attacked the Jews. There are certain ideologies that we believe are fueled by dark powers, spiritual powers. So Esther called a three-day fast with Mordecai. And that three-day fast, I believe, broke the spiritual power behind Haman. I believe God is laying his hand on women for such a time as this. But now I believe God has joined us with you and your fellowship. Maybe the most important thing we do on that 10-hour day of fasting and prayer on the Day of Atonement is actually when we cry out to God on behalf of the Jews, praying that God would push back Hezbollah, Lord, break the power of the war in Gaza, and release the hostages. This is our dream.
Amen. Amen. I listen to you, Lou, and I realize what I've always felt as we send our children here in Israel out to defend this country, Israel, that's being attacked on 7 different fronts, all of them sponsored by Iran and all of them having the same goal of annihilating Israel. It's very similar to wicked Haman, who wanted to annihilate the Jewish people. Today we have Hamas and Hezbollah who want to annihilate the Jewish people. But Lou, hearing you speak, it's so clear that it's not just the Jewish people. What we are defending here in Israel is Christians as well, because the terrorists themselves, this evil, says first we go for the Saturday people and then we go for the Sunday people. And they say first we're going for the Jews and then for the Christians. They say first we're going for the little Satan, which is Israel, and then we'll go for the big Satan, which is America. So we really feel here in Israel like we're standing on the front lines protecting you. And it's an honor to do that because we stand together in the light of God and the Judeo-Christian values. And in order to preserve that, we need to stand together against this evil.
Absolutely. And we understand as Christians here in America, not all do, but we understand that we owe everything to the Jewish peoples, to the Jewish roots. We spring from you. We're the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that sense. And so we honor that root, and we know that we stand together. And now I'm concerned that Joel chapter 3 is this: I will judge the nations that scattered my people, and I will judge them because they divided my land. Any nation that rises up to divide Israel is in trouble. The Jewish people are God's covenant people. And so we are praying, God, please, may America continually stand with Israel.
Amen. Amen. And what a day to choose, Lou, and Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, when Jews around the world are also fasting, as they do every year on the Day of Atonement, to have millions of Christians be fasting and praying as well. We see a rise in anti-Semitism. We see how many governments and people are turning very quickly against Israel and the Jewish people, just as they have throughout history, from wicked Haman to Amalek to the Nazis. And what I see in Christians standing so boldly and bravely against the tide with the Jewish people, as so many other communities have turned their back, is that the Christian community seems to have learned from history and are standing up to say, I am my brother's keeper. And together, I believe that God will help quickly this light overcome the darkness. But it's very symbolic that you chose the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to have this fast. Can you tell me a little bit about this? Was this accidental or coincidental, or does it mean something to you personally?
I don't know if you can see me, I got tears in my eyes because this is so special to me. See, I've been discipled by those who understand the Jewish feasts and these holy days, that these are the days that God has set. We can set up our own schedules, but he set up his own schedule to visit us. And I believe the Day of Atonement, as it is the most holy day of the year. Many of us are fasting 40 days from the first day of Elul in repentance and humbling ourselves to that day. And so what happened with when God gave me this vision, I felt like in my heart, it has to be on the Day of Atonement, because that day it's a court case that God holds a court case with Israel, holds a court case with the nations. And through repentance, humility, we receive either judgment or mercy on that day, as I understand it. It's a last stand day when the high priest went in and offered the blood to get a verdict of mercy rather than a verdict of judgment. I said, God, is this is the day, and the only day we can do it is on a Saturday together, our people, though we're not holding the Sabbath as you are. But it has to be a Saturday, and it's got to be on the Day of Atonement. I looked it up, and it was on the Day of Atonement. I just knew that this was a day when the lots are cast in the Day of Atonement, where the goat takes away the sins of the nation away. And it's almost like the day on that day, the sins of a nation are removed. This is what I'm believing for, a mercy to come for America. So there will be righteous leaders raised up and a great spiritual revival. I am so honored to be doing this with the Jewish peoples on the Day of Atonement.
Wow, that is incredible. I feel like you were placed here, Lou, for such a time as this. And the Jewish people and the people of Israel, I speak as Israel is being attacked right now by Hezbollah terrorists. Over 160 rockets have been launched into Israel in the past hour. And I say that you were called for such a time as this, and that we are grateful for your prayers and for having this event that so bravely unites the people of America with the people of Israel. I'm going to actually share information in the link of this show so everyone can see it, and you can also see on our website and in the show notes. And I urge as many courageous Esthers as possible on October 12th to go to Washington, D.C., the mall in Washington, D.C., and join the Million Women Esthers to pray, to fast, and to join us all in this fight for good, this fight for peace, and this biblical struggle of light over darkness. Lou, I would be so honored if you could close us in prayer to pray for the 1 million Esthers who will be gathering with you, to pray for the people of Israel who are under attack right now, to pray for the people of America who in a very different way, but also are under attack, and to pray that we can continue this fellowship of faith that we see today of Christians and Jews coming together in friendship. Will you lead us in prayer, my friend?
We thank you, God, that you are the Lord of history. Lord, you change times and seasons. You raise up kings, you bring them down. You're the unchallenged sovereign of the universe, and you're the God who keeps covenant and shows mercy to 1,000 generations who love you and keep your commands. Lord, you are the God who remembers your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You are the God that has watched over that covenant. Lord, we ask forgiveness because of how the Christians have treated the Jews historically. But we thank you that you're giving us another chance to say, like Ruth, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And so now we say, Lord, even in this crisis moment over Israel, over America, keep your covenant of mercy. Lord, be a shield around Israel right now, the glory and the lifter of their heads. Lord, we pray even now with many others, restrain this prince of Persia. Restrain as you did in the days of Daniel in a 21-day fast. Loose Michael the archangel to overshadow, Lord, Israel and the Jewish peoples. And Lord, we take a stand. We declare the victory of God over the principalities and powers. And we know that in it all, Lord, you will establish your kingdom, your reign in Jerusalem. And so it is in that great name we pray, living God, giving thanks for your rescue operations. Raise up Esthers all over the world to stand with the Esthers of Israel and for America. Amen.
Amen. Lou Engel, thank you for your power, for your prayer, for your faith, for your dedication to America, to Israel, and to the world. May God bless you, my friend. Thank you for joining us.